This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports. All the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Bill Curry Ford, that's the family name on there, family owned for almost 62 years right there in Tampa. Nationwide lifetime warranty on used vehicles. That's right, used vehicles and new vehicles. Bill Curry Ford, GM Sean Sullivan is going to give you $500 just for ordering a new 2023 vehicle. Go online, BillCurryFord.com. You've got concierge service if you want to put it all together online. If you don't want to go to their beautiful showroom, that's fine. No deposit. It's so easy. BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there today. And of course, Sean's our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. In his spare time, listen to his Best in Class podcast, and he wants to help you personally. And that's not a joke. So if you have any question about a vehicle, your used car, service, body work, you're planning on buying a vehicle in January and you want to know when to, is it better to do it in December? Reach out to Sean. He'll help you personally at Bill Curry Ford. Big Storm Beer, that's the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. You want to mark it down September 18th, Bucks at Saints, and you can watch the game with Ira at the Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. Fantastic menu. Check it out at bigstormbrewery.com. Outdoor patio, 3,000 square feet, covered seating. They've got live music there all the time when it's not a big football game or a football Sunday. BigStormBrewery.com. Hang out with the Sage, 1 o'clock kickoff, Sunday the 18th. Get there a little early. Ira's usually out there about 12:15, fiddling with his fantasy team and talking to fans. Big Storm Brewery. They've also got locations, tap rooms in Odessa and Cape Coral, coming soon to Ybor City, and in Orlando at the Amway Center. Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer. Try a Bromosa. It's in almost all the stores. So many other great beers. Big Storm Beer. So this was pretty cool. I picked up the JoeBucksFan.com World Headquarters voicemail, and I realized I missed one from Cameron Brait for Ira around the time of his birthday earlier this month, as regular podcast listeners would know. So I'm just going to play it.
Ira, heard you're turning the big 9-0 today. Just wanted to say happy birthday. Can't believe you're still doing this at 90. So we all appreciate you. Heard a lot about your summer diet. A little disappointed in the results. I thought we were going to stick to the diet this year, but you know, just got to keep working. Consistency is the key. Happy birthday, brother, and hope you have a good one.
Use some discretion. Don't just repeat junk.
All right, so a little different format to the podcast today, a little different intro. Go back and listen to our first one of this week. A lot of good stuff in there. We've got more good stuff here, and we're slamming this in to talk a little bit about the roster cuts that are looming. And, of course, when they're all done, we'll come back and talk about it some more. So more podcasts this week. We're trying to get 4 or 5 in this week, and excited about that. So we're going to dive right into the Sage and my conversation. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. And we also want to tell you, if anything's going on in your home right now, any sort of disaster, fire, mold, water damage, storm damage, flood, call Florida's Elite Restoration. Do not mess around. Call them immediately, 24/7. They'll come out to your home and give you a free assessment from someone you can trust. And that's extremely valuable. And they'll do the work if it needs to be done. If it's an insurance claim, they'll help you with that. Josh Martin, the boss at Florida's Elite Restoration, 14 years he spent as an insurance adjuster. He knows how to get the money from the insurance company to fix what needs to be done so you don't get ripped off. Florida's Elite Restoration. Mention Joe Bucks Fan or Ira Kaufman before you make a commitment to work with them, and you're going to get $500. $500, maybe you use it toward your deductible if it's an insurance claim, or maybe it's just $500 off a cash repair or cash restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. Bookmark it for when you have that disaster in your home or your business. You call them up. You'll be so glad you did. I wish I had done that years ago when I had a flood at my home. floridaselite-restoration.com. All right, let's dive right into the talk. Here's the Sage, and happy Tuesday, everyone. We got to talk to the folks about roster cuts, the hardcores. They're obsessed. They're fired up. I don't know what it is, Ira, but it's a hell of a day on the football calendar. The final 53-man roster, which of course will change 6 times in the next 10 days. But Ira, first, I got to ask you about Byron Leftwich and his sit-down. He said a lot of interesting things, Ira, and this was one of the things that was most fascinating. So Leftwich is talking to the Pivot podcast, you know, a bunch of ex-players, Ryan Clark, They got him to sit down. He had played with Leftwich, and he talked about Tom Brady retiring when he heard about Brady officially retiring. They asked him about that. And Byron Leftwich says, quote, "It was like, okay, man, we got to find a quarterback. We got to find somebody to go out here and play because we got a good enough team that can compete. So we got to go get somebody in here." And he continued, "I was hoping we could find somebody. My worry was not that we can find a quarterback. It was just that going through the process of the offseason, self-evaluating, you know, we've got to find a quarterback." And then he went on to say, "Does that mean it's Kyle Trask's time?" All those things going through your head. But his first reaction was, "We got to go get a guy in here." And that doesn't jibe with Bruce Arians' love for Blaine Gabbert. And maybe this doesn't make the Kyle Trask mob very happy. But, you know, Leftwich was relaxed. He was very candid, thinking that, oh, my gosh, who are we going to bring in?
You know, this supposed love affair with Arians and Gabbert, Lee, I look at it a little differently. I know what he says publicly about Blaine Gabbert. But when you think about it, Lee, he also said that if Brady stayed retired, he didn't want Bowles to get that job. Would Blaine Gabbert understand, basically?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what he said, Lee.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't mention Gabbert by name, but he said if Brady retirement stuck, he was going to not let Bowles coach because he wanted Bowles to win, basically. That's a hell of a statement.
He didn't want to stick Bowles as a bad quarterback. He didn't come out and say it in those words, but it's pretty obvious what he was saying.
Steve, my first question is, how come Byron Leftwich don't answer like that when I ask him a question? I get the programmed Byron Leftwich, who sounds like a politician.
Byron Leftwich is worse than Tom Brady at saying nothing.
By the way, Steve, you got to give me a minute here. I got to get something off. I can see Steve and Lee staying. Let it go, Ira. There's bigger
worse than Jay Glazer being on the practice field?
Yeah, that bothered me too. Steve, this happens all the time, and I'm talking about the Buck media, and I'll throw the umbrella on the whole Buck media. It's like when Todd Bowles is at the podium or a player is at the podium on a Wednesday morning, and everybody is hitting the Twitter. I got 9 people telling me within 5 seconds what Todd Bowles just said. Lee, here's the part that kills me. He didn't say anything. Steve, here's my point. Do I have to read 8 tweets within 1 minute that said, Todd Bowles just said the Bucks will, quote, be ready, unquote, for Dallas in week 1? Do I need that, DeKemper? Do I have to read that? That is a waste of thumb power. Use some discretion. Don't just repeat junk that a guy says. That statement means nothing.
Well, that goes back to fundamental writing and reporting. I'm a big quote guy, and most quotes are nonsense. You know, it's fluff, it's empty. Some quotes mean something, and that's where you have to use your discretion. I know where you're going. That's sort of a pet peeve with mine. You know, I'm a big quote guy, and my pet peeve is so-and-so says he's pleased with the offensive line.
Yeah.
Didn't tell me a damn thing. What's he going to do, rip the players in public? Hell no. So that's an empty quote, and that's a kind of a quote that that's a pet peeve of mine. Like, so-and-so is pleased. No spit.
You don't have to repeat every innocuous quote like it's breaking news. Yeah, you heard me, CNN. Breaking news.
To be clear, that the example I've made is not Bucks media. That's media in general, sports media in general.
Well, a lot of Bucks media are guilty. I read it every day. Every day. Pablum quotes, not its quotes, parrot it out there like it's breaking news. I'm over it, Steve. All right. Continue.
Get off Twitter, Ira.
Use a little discretion.
All right, Sage. Well, I think that was a real interesting window into where the Bucks will go next year, because without injuries, assuming Brady's gone, if they don't have a ton of injuries and the core of the roster is still here, the defense is strong, and you got Fournette and receivers, they're going to do whatever they got to do to get the best available quarterback, because the Glazers are going to be like, look, we're not going with Kyle Trask if we can find a guy who might be a one-year wonder here. And it's not just the Glazers. Todd Bowles isn't going to want to be 60 years old and gambling his career on guys that just aren't there yet, or in Gabbert's case, going to be there at all. So
100%, Steve. And Lee, I'll take it a step further. And we all know this. I'm not uncovering a grand scheme here. Light and Spytek, Greenberg, and whoever else is in the ball upstairs at One Buck Place. Lee, they're already working on it. They're already thinking about it. And you can say, well, we're all in for 2022. Yeah, but 2023 is going to be here before you know it. They're already thinking about it, Lee. They got chart up, names on a chart. Who could be available? Could we get this guy? Do we have to trade for this guy? Could this guy be a free agent? Lee, it's very, very much on Jason Light's mind, because Jason Light's not going anywhere. He's going to be here in 2023, and he wants a good quarterback.
Well, I know you and I have the same conclusion, but we're coming at it from totally different angles. You said from the day he was drafted, just about, that Kyle Trask is not the quarterback of the future. I'll just be blunt. And if people get mad, too bad. Kyle Trask is not better than Blaine Gabbert. Doesn't mean he can't be at some point, but unless he makes significant progress, and he could make significant progress, I'm going to emphasize that. But as we're speaking right now, Kyle Trask is not better than Blaine Gabbert.
All right, Sage, look. An important component to our hitting on the guys who make the roster here, especially at receiver, is Chris Godwin, because that's a very critical piece of the puzzle when it comes to the receiver depth that the Bucs have done their best to stockpile. And I don't think they're going to short themselves. And even Tom Brady talked about receiver. I asked him about the bottom of the roster receivers and to talk about that. He didn't go there, but he did talk about, you know, he sort of emphasized the importance of depth there because they lived it. So Godwin has yet to be cleared to take a hit. Todd Bowles made that extra clear. They're not just being safe with him. The doctors haven't said he can get hit yet. What that means, I don't know. He's out there practicing. He's working out in warmups. He's not limping or anything, but he's wearing a brace and he can't take a hit. And we're less than 2 weeks from opening day. I asked Bowles today, Ira, if, you know, hey, Todd, if they give you the green light, are you going to be more cautious with him, or do you have to throw him in the fire, or you're an ex-player? You know, what does the player in you say? And he said, look, I was pleased that he actually didn't give a total pablum answer, as you would say, Ira. He said, got to get drilled below the waist, hitting the knee. He's got to get hit in the legs and see if how he recovers from that physically and mentally and feel like he's ready to go. You know, I don't know when that's going to come, Ira. And Bowles, my question for you is, Bowles emphasized 100% clearance. You know, we'll wait and see when clearance is 100%. And he mentioned 100% twice. Is there such a thing as 85% clearance? And does that mean like, okay, well, Todd, he's healthy enough to play, but don't really push it with him? What does that mean? Where do you think Godwin is from all the evidence that you've seen to date? And when do you think they expect him to be on the field, Ira? Because that's going to tie into this decision coming up on these receivers.
Lee, the way I look at it, and I don't really see any other way to look at it, Lee, he has to be full go at practice. Full go. And that means that Carl Davis, you know, has to be able to hit him and see what kind of reaction Godwin has. I can't throw him out in an NFL game when he has to practice fully, Lee. The practice has to come first, and then you judge it off that and see how he is the following day, and is there swelling or whatever. He's not there yet, Lee. He's not there yet. And until he is, he's got no chance, in my opinion, to play. But Lee, on the other hand, if he misses 2 or 3 weeks, I think that it's a deal breaker. I don't think it means the Bucs are going to go 9-8. All of a sudden, as long as Jones and Gage are playing, and Evans and Johnson, I think they'll be okay until he's ready. And I ain't playing him till he's ready. And I mean practice ready, full go, no holds barred in practice.
Bowles has not talked about this in a few weeks, maybe not since July, but basically what Bowles wants, I think the organization is the same way, in the same boat. They want Godwin on the field in December, January, and February. That means they have to sacrifice him for 3 or 4 weeks to open the season. So be it.
Yeah.
Here's the catch, Ira. What Lee said may be 100% on point, and obviously it's leaning toward that direction where he's not going to play opening day, in our opinion. Do you put him on injured reserve? Because if he goes on IR, then you can bring him back after 4 weeks. And, you know, if he's going to miss three, do you say, well, let's just put him on IR. He'll miss four, and we'll get another roster spot and see which receivers shake out. We need the receiver depth. Do you do that? Or do you... If you know Godwin's going to be available week four, do you just let him waste the roster spot because, damn it, we want him against the Chiefs?
I'd be wary of putting him on IR if I didn't have to, Lee, because I assume he won't be ready in week three. Why should I assume that if I don't have to? Suppose he is ready week three, then I want him on the field. If he's ready, I want him on the field. And why should I keep him out 1 or 2 weeks when he could potentially be playing unless I know for a fact, Lee, that he's a month away? Yeah, they got to make a decision, Lee, but I wouldn't be in a hurry to sit him out those four games in advance like you know for a fact he's not going to be ready in week three.
How much would gamesmanship be involved? What I mean by that is they won't put him on IR in part because they want that out there that, you know what, you might have to prepare for Godwin because he might be able to play, even though the Bucks know he won't be.
I see your point, Lee. I think it's a minimal factor in the whole picture because, like Steve's saying, the key point is you can protect and get another roster spot by dropping him for four games. I don't think the fact that a team might have to prepare for Godwin, I don't think it enters into it, Lee, but it's interesting.
All right, Ira, look, about the receivers. A lot of focus there. Lee's been real focused. A lot of fans, you know, a lot of names that people know. I'm going to throw it out there this way to you. Obviously, Mike Evans is a lock. Godwin, we're not sure if they put him on injured reserve, but I think we sort of established that no, they're not going to go there. And Julio Jones, Russell Gage has the hamstring injury, but you know, they're sort of saying he's day-to-day-ish, so I don't think they'll get rid of him. As far as putting him on injured reserve for a month or so. So that's four. I'm going to make the call, Ira, that Tyler Johnson is a lock for the roster for two reasons. One, he's inexpensive. He's healthy. And he played every game last season. He's proven to be durable. He's had a strong camp. He had a strong preseason. Tom Brady came right back to him after a drop on the first drive, came right back to him on fourth down. On that opening drive, you know, he's going to make the team. Fills that Chris Godwin role, being able to block, you know, like they like to have the slot guy come down and do. So that's five. So then what, Ira? We got Darden, who just has never really shown anything. We've got Breshad Perriman, who's been injury prone, and he can play, and he fits the offense, but doesn't really play special teams, even though Todd Bowles tried to say he did play special teams, but he's got like one career snap and he's not a gunner. And I didn't see him out there gunning last week. And he's a former first round pick receiver. He's not a special teams player, no matter what Bowles says. And you've got Cyril Grayson is gone, but you got Scotty Miller, who hasn't had the best preseason performances, although I think he's practiced pretty well. So what do you think they do and where do you think they go? And do you think there's a chance that, like Lee mentioned earlier a little bit, maybe they go outside the organization to get a bottom-of-the-roster receiver who can also play special teams and figure, hey, you know, we'll develop this guy as the season goes and see what happens.
Well, I agree with you about the top five. I think Lee would be with us on that. All things being equal in terms of health, Tyler Johnson will make this team. There's investiture in Tyler Johnson also. Jason Light's not in a hurry to cut a draft pick. I'm leaning towards Leon on Darden. Can't they do better? Can I get a 50-yard punt return? Can I get one long one? It might win a game. Can I get one? I don't see where he's done much. Lee, I got to ultimately say that number 12 makes the call. I think number 12 makes the call. And I think at the end, Brady says, I think Scotty can get the job done. I think he can. I've got confidence in him. He has gotten the job done. And let me rebuild this guy's confidence. And I think Brady makes that call.
I don't see why Darden gets all this love from people. I just don't. He doesn't. Nicest kid you'll ever meet. Nice guy. You know, you want good things to happen to nice guys, but the NFL's a production business. I didn't see anything last year. He has improved, but I don't think he's any better than Scotty Miller. He certainly is not better than Tyler Johnson. And I will go out on a limb and say the last week and a half of training camp, he wasn't better than Devin Tompkins. You know, all these people, they ooh and ah, oh, Jalen. I don't see it. I just don't see it. Now, I'm not looking for these intricacies that the Bucs might be looking for. Okay, I'll admit that. But I don't see him head and shoulders above Scotty Miller. I don't see him head and shoulders above Devin Tompkins. I don't see where the guy's a lock. But other people, oh, he's a lock. He's a, you know, he's Andre Reed, you know, this guy. And I want to see it. I want to see the guy go out there and cut a 50-yard return. I want to see him bust a couple of tackles and get a lot of yak. I don't see it. With Scotty Miller, take away that second-best play in Bucs history and the hero of the NFC Championship game. Take that play away. When's the last time he made a play as a receiver?
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, on special teams, he was a key player in two critical turnovers, one of which helped beat the Colts. The other was in a playoff game against the Eagles. Bowles is talking about a gunner. Well, he played gunner last year, and he made plays. So, but Darden, I just don't, you know. Yeah, you know, people are going to get mad at me. Oh, how dare you say something against Darden? Oh, you asshole. I want anybody wearing a friggin' Bucs uniform to ball out and be a Hall of Famer. Damn it. Get that through your freaking people's heads. I hate non-production. And, oh, by the way, I know Bucs people do listen to this podcast. You're more than welcome to invite me into One Buck Palace and show me film of what makes Darden special. Please do that, because I want to write stories that I'm not seeing now. I want to write stories for all your ticket-buying public why Darden is this valuable commodity.
What say you, Mr. Isbitz?
Well, I would keep Miller over Darden, I think. But something's going on with Miller. I don't really know what it is, why they haven't given him more of a shot on punt returns. They haven't given him a shot on kick returns. He wasn't with the first team offense. He didn't play with Tom Brady against the Colts at all. They had Perriman out there. It's hard to say what they really think. You know, you have to recognize that there's a new head coach and he has very different opinions. And yeah. But I'm going to agree with you, Ira. I'm going to just underline what you said and step aside for the sage and say Tom Brady makes the call. Period. Bruce Arians, in one of his more interesting quotes of 2020, said that he told Tom Brady, and this is on JoeBucksFan.com archives, he said he told Tom Brady, we got an incredible 1-2 punch here at receiver. You can pick the third guy. And that's what that's what Arians said. So, I mean, I think if you're going to let Tom Brady pick the third guy, well, you'd think you would let him pick the sixth and seventh guy, but I think they'll keep quite a bit of receivers, Ira, because they just cannot risk. They won't let the same thing happen twice. Maybe they're too paranoid, but they won't risk getting short on receivers last year like they did, having to rely on Cyril Grayson, who, oh, by the way, cleared waivers. Nobody wants Cyril Grayson and a lunatic and Antonio Brown that they relied on probably a year too long. So I think they want the numbers there, Sage.
If they let Brady make the ultimate pick, what's wrong with that, Lee? I got no problem with it.
If Brady really had final say, you don't think you don't think Cyril Grayson would still be on the roster?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Well, he sure targeted the guy for not liking him.
He had no choice.
Now, Lee,
he didn't have to throw him the ball. Who was throwing the ball? Blaine Gabbert? Come on now.
Well, Grayson only caught 11 passes, I think. I mean, it's just, nobody else wanted him.
I think 11, two of them were pretty big. One gave the Bucks the lead late in the game against the Slimy Saints, and the other gave the Bucks a win at the Jets game, the infamous Antonio Brown topless jump ejects game.
He did. You know, and if Godwin goes on IR late for those four games, maybe your boy Darden slips through there and hangs on.
So
maybe the receiving court takes on more importance because Gronkowski's not on the roster.
Well, the X factor here, Ira, X factor is the Buccaneers may keep all kinds of numbers, but as soon as everybody cuts down to 53, they could add two offensive linemen in a hurry, and yep. Poof, all of a sudden you kept receivers who are now offensive linemen all of a sudden because you made more cuts. You just don't know, you know, what the real status is on the O-line. And I think if there are a couple of at least one real veteran offensive lineman out there who seems like he's not washed up, who can play the interior, I think they're going to grab him. I don't think there's any dispute, but that can't happen until after the rosters are cut down for the most part. And the X factor, Ira, I got to ask you this. It's important. When you have Hainsey, you've got Nick Leverett. One thing we don't know about those guys is if they're injury prone, period, because they really haven't played. So forget about the talent level. We don't really know how good they are. They could be just fine, and no reason to think that Hainsey can't play the position. Gedeki as well, but we don't even know if they're durable players. So you got three guys vying for two spots. Two of them are banged up, and we don't know if anybody can get through a season like a Shaq Mason or an Iron Man Donovan Smith or Tristan Wirfs. So, you know, how do you think that factors in?
That's very interesting. Well, Gedeki's going to be the guy. The competition is over. I think he was going to beat out Stinney anyway, Lee. That's the way it looked like to me.
Yeah, I get that same impression.
And I'll tell you why, because I think in the Tennessee game, I believe Stinney played right guard and Gedeki played left guard. Mm-hmm. So you're going to play the left guard in Tennessee who you think is going to win the job at left guard. That's the way I looked at it. I thought that tipped the Bucks' hand right there.
Well, Stinney was playing in the third quarter, too.
Yeah, they could have started Stinney at left guard and Gedeki at right guard, but they didn't do that.
Yeah,
and the left guard is the one with the competition, not the right guard. So Gedeki's going to get that job. Rookie, never taken a snap when it counted. Hainsey, never taken a snap at center when it counted. Scary on the face of it. Steve, I'll tell you another thing that some of these injuries have done, especially the Jensen injury. Because, Lee, let's not forget, Lee. Hainsey was the swing guy, the tackle / guard / center. And
really?
that's what they loved about Hainsey a year ago. And one of the reasons they drafted him is because they thought he was versatile. Even though I believe he only played right tackle at Notre Dame. But they thought his skill set was versatile. So now he's the starter. We don't know if or when Jensen's ever coming back this season. Now you got Leverett as sort of the jack of all trades. And we don't know he's as versatile as Hainsey was supposed to be. Steve, they don't have proven depth, never mind the starters at left guard and center. They don't have proven depth behind these guys. That's over a 17-game season. Steve, that's another reason why you got to go out. You got to get a veteran.
One, and I don't know if you heard the same. I know you got your sources. You know, when Hainsey became center, and I was talking to everybody from suits down to players about Hainsey. I was told the Bucks were actually grooming him to play center because they didn't know if Jensen was going to return or not.
Yes.
Okay. The other question I have, and Steve brought this up, and I was thinking about asking this before we started the pod, and I completely forgot about it, and I'm very glad Steve brought this up. Hainsey, I know once he was carted off the field in practice. I want to say two different times he had to leave practice because he was dinged up. And I could be wrong about that, but I know once for sure he had cramps, he had to get carted off. Then we see the other night, someone fell on his ankle, he hurt his ankle. I know, as the stat geeks like to say, they love the term short sample size. And they usually use that term to argue, you know, like oh, that's not right. And they try to undermine someone's contention. They always like to use small sample size. So this might be small sample size, but are you kind of concerned Ainsy gets nicked up easy?
My answer is very simple, Lee. It's a two-pronged answer. Short sample size, yes. But I'm concerned, yes. I go back to what some people told me about Ainsy. They don't think he can live up to the physical demands of the center position.
Physically. I know who told you that, and they're very credible people.
They don't think he can hold up physically. We shall see, but the early returns are not overly promising. Doesn't mean he can't get the job done, Steve. But I think Lee's right. I think he was dinged up during a practice session. People thought it was serious. It wasn't. And now we're not quite sure about this injury, so... Steve, if they got to go, you know, deep into this depth of this offensive line, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, well, it's going to shape who makes the team. But again, the point is that there, whoever makes the team, there may be some quick cuts if the Bucs see a couple of guys they want to pounce on with the offensive right. line depth, and it's a real-time situation with how Leverett and Hainsey progress with their injuries. Sage, but I will say this, the Bucs ran the ball reasonably well in the preseason. Leonard Fournette ran extremely well in the carries that he got. Keyshawn Vaughn, 29 carries for 109 yards and two touchdowns. The bottom rung of it was Rashad White, 19 rushes for 60 yards, no scores. But still, nobody was running for 1.9 yards a carry like Ronald Jones years ago and Doug Martin in his 2.9. So, you know, they all hung in there. Pretty well. I thought the run blocking was pretty good for preseason, but it's preseason. Last one, Ira, you would have enjoyed this because I didn't mean to do it like this. It's just the way it played out. So I was talking to Ryan Succop in the locker room in Indianapolis, and you know, I basically said, "Hey, Ryan, I think you know we can just call it what it is. Congratulations on making the team. This is your whatever season, and blah blah blah." And he wouldn't take the bite, you know, because Borogalis is still on the roster. So he wouldn't go there. I'm like, and I was just, you know, kind of fed up a little bit. I'm like, look, let's go a different direction, Ryan. A lot of fans think you can't kick a 50-yard field goal anymore, and you're just weak, and, you know, you might as well change your number to 48. I actually said that because they think that's your max. I said, what do you have to say to those fans? And he's really just started laughing. He's like, I don't know. He said, I guess they have to watch practice in the games. And anyway, I said, hey, I have noticed that you've been hitting 52, 53, 51 consistently in practice. Do you feel like you're stronger and healthier this year than you've been since you've been with the Bucks? And he said, that I'll talk about, and that is okay. You can go with that. So I'm telling you, Ira, I can go with that. And he's going to be the Bucks kicker. He won the job.
You're right. He's going to be the Bucks kicker. He won the job. I don't think the other guy was bad. Succop, he had to be better than Succop. They couldn't be even.
Yeah.
I think Succop was a little better, but this guy had to be better than Succop. You know, Succop does look healthy. You like his reliability. I didn't think he was outstanding last year, but he has made clutch kicks for this organization. Brady doesn't forget about that. Light doesn't forget about that. Bowles doesn't forget it. Neither do the Glazers, and to trust a team like this with an untested kicker, that's dangerous waters, unless this kid was just fantastic. And he was good, but he wasn't fantastic. He needed to be fantastic. I think this kid could end up on another roster, and it wouldn't shock me if he has a successful career. This guy's not a bum, Borealis. But I think they're making the right call with Succop. I think he'll have a good season.
Let's hope so. They're going to need him.
All right. We're going to cut it off here and continue the conversation on Wednesday after the cuts flow through. Of course, when we taped this, we did not know Tyler Johnson had been released. Interesting stuff. And it really played, though, into the conversation we had about Chris Godwin. Hopefully Johnson being released is actually good news as it relates to Godwin, but we'll probably learn more in the coming hours. BillCurryFord.com. Get there. BillCurryFord.com. BigStormBrewery.com. That's where you find your Big Storm tap room, and you can look at all the great beers available there. BigStormBrewery.com and the menu in Clearwater, where you can watch the game with Ira Kaufman September 18th, Sunday, Bucks at Saints. Check in with the Sage about 12:15, fun times. And remember, Florida's Elite Restoration, that's who you call when you have that disaster in your home or business. Florida's Elite Restoration. JoeBucksFan.com rolls on. The Ira Kaufman podcast continues. You could subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Stitcher, a lot of different outlets. And of course, so many of you listen right at JoeBucksFan.com. We appreciate it greatly, big time. And we know people yearn for the podcast. We try to just make it as good as we can, try to time it for when we can do that as a threesome here. And we appreciate all the love that we get and all the listeners and readers at JoeBucksFan.com. And we will see you soon.